new study undertaken by the Men's Project at the Jesuit Social Services has found that traditional ideas about manning up can be some of the most important factors in predicting things like violence, bullying, sexual harassment, and other physical, social, and psychological outcomes. It's extremely important research, and it may help us shift away from these attitudes that cause such harm. Now, Matt Tyler is the executive director of the Men's Project and has worked for years providing leadership on the reduction of violence, mental ill health, and other harmful behaviours among boys and men. Matt, welcome to The Daily. Thank you so much for joining us.
So good to be with you, Lily.
Now, the Men's Project has put together a survey that asks young men about their support of stereotypical ideas about what it means to be a man. What is the survey attempting to find out?
Yeah, so we surveyed 1,000 Australian men, really, between the ages of 18 to 30. And we were seeking to understand what they think it means to be a man. And so, you know, in particular, we were interested in what they think about a range of stereotypical attitudes. And we call these attitudes man box attitudes. And so just to give your listeners a bit of a feel for what these attitudes are, these are things like pressure to act tough, even if you feel scared or nervous inside. This idea that maybe a gay guy is not a real man, or a real man is responsible for bringing money into the home and not helping out around the home. And at the more extreme end, this idea that a man should use violence to get respect if necessary and assert control in his relationships. And so what we found, or one of the major findings, was that these man box attitudes, they have really large associations, and you shared this up front, with the use of violence, substance use, mental health outcomes, and much more so than other factors in a man's life. Some of your listeners, you know, I'm sure have heard commentary to say that family violence, you know, tends to happen more in poor suburbs, or binge drinking is more of a challenge for people who have lower levels of education. What we found is that these man box attitudes, they're over 25 times more accurate at predicting those life outcomes than a range of other factors, like where someone lives, their levels of education, their cultural heritage, or their job. And so they really are playing a substantial role in underpinning some of those life outcomes that you touched on right up front.
Oh, my God. Did you say 25 times?
25 times, really?
That's mental. I mean, it's great. It's not mental, sorry. It's great. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, so you know, I'm from a more of a research background, Willie, and my astonishment when I saw the magnitude of these results, I can't overstate that. We hear this from our frontline staff every day. Jesuit Social Services tends to work at the crisis end, and attitudes really matter. Intuitively, it makes sense that what we think impacts the way we behave. And one of the reasons why we established the Men's Project is that too many men and boys perceive these messages from society. We know from the research that 2/3 of men have been told since they're a boy that a real man behaves in a certain way. And so when we're receiving these messages through the media, through role models perhaps, that if you're going to be a man, you've got to conform to a certain set of norms, then it's only natural that impacts our thoughts, and we know our thoughts impact behaviour. And so, you know, to put it most simply, attitudes impact behaviour, Willie, and we see that in this research.
Have you found that conforming to any of the traditional ideas about masculinity produces any positive outcomes?
It's such a good question. So a really important message from not just this research but our work more broadly is that context really matters. Context in terms of different cultural sort of situations, but also the specific circumstance that a man finds himself in. And so, you know, I've spent a bunch of time in the US I'm not going to tell a young man on the south side of Chicago to stop acting tough. That's going to end pretty poorly for that young man pretty quickly.
Yeah, right.
And so there's more work that needs to be done to understand the specific circumstances where parts of the man box could actually be really helpful. I would argue that parts of the man box are always bad. For instance, using violence to get respect if necessary, or the idea that a man should always have the final say in decisions that are made in his relationship. But it is likely that, you know, perhaps some aspects of self-sufficiency. Sometimes we have to. I've been in circumstances where I've had to sort out problems on my own. The key point is that we want men and boys to be free to choose how they respond to specific situations rather than being constrained by the expectations of the man box.
And I guess it's about reshaping attitudes, isn't it? In terms of, you know, just the word that came to mind is resilience. So, you know, when having to sort things out by yourself, that's like a resilience and a resourceful attitude that you know, can be played across many situations without necessarily being negative, if that makes sense.
Spot on. Exactly right, Willie. Like, resilience is a wonderful thing. Resilience gets us through hard times. Where things can become problematic is when a man, or a woman for that matter, feels like they've got to sort out problems on their own at all costs, that they don't feel like they can seek help, even when they need help. There's really good evidence to suggest that that has a really poor impact upon mental health.
Yeah. What are some of the things that can be done to help young men move away from the harmful attitudes around masculinity?
Yeah, so I'll touch on three recommendations, which are outlined in more detail in the report. I think the first is, and, you know, thanks to you this morning for playing a role in this, is public awareness. We've got to present alternative models of masculinity. I've just become an uncle, Willie, and
oh, congratulations!
You know, thank you. So exciting. And, you know, I want that little boy to grow up in a world where, you know, he's not constrained by messages he's receiving about what's expected of men. And one of the really important ways to do that is for governments to fund public awareness campaigns to present alternative models of masculinity. I think the second thing to say, and our work at the Men's Project does this every day, is to support role models who work with men and boys. So this is teachers, social workers, faith leaders, even sports coaches. These conversations, which broaden the definition of what it means to be a man, they can be tricky. And so we've got to support these role models with the knowledge, skills and confidence to engage with the men and boys they're working with. And then the final thing I'd say is that if governments are investing in programs focused on violence or mental health or substance use, I think there's merit in gender norms being a really important part of those programs. We've seen in Victoria, the Victorian Department of Education take a real leading role on the respectful relationships curriculum. And I think similarly, you could see a world where when a social worker sits down with someone that, and there's a bit of work to do here, but they go through some of those man box questions to understand where the person in front of them is at. You know, and I think a helpful analogy in this regard is, you know, we wouldn't have a conversation about obesity today without thinking about the really crucial role of sugar. What we're saying is that there shouldn't be conversations about mental health or the use of violence without thinking about the crucial role of these man box attitudes.
Matt Tyler, it's really important work that you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and keep up that fantastic research.
Thanks so much, Willie. Thanks for having me on.